Sack Gamers Podcast. Welcome to the Rusak Gamers Podcast, episode 133. This is a one-shot episode where Joe, Todd, Jason, and yours truly, Roy, take on Jason Morningstar's Durrance. Before we get started, I would like to send a thank you to the GM Intrusions Podcast for recommending our Numenera episodes, along with the Knights of the Night and Ninth World Chronicles. GMI is a dedicated Numenera podcast, so I'll consider them the experts on the subject. Now, on to tonight's episode. We start Durrance off with some overview of the game, basic mechanics, which are slim, and character creation. Then we jump right into the story. That's it. That's how easy it is. Now, comments, critique, and general feedback can be left in our voicemail, 502-4141-RU. That's 502-4141-766. Or send us email, roy@rusakgamers.com. Look for us on Facebook, Google+, Twitter, our blog, our rpgcrosstalk.com forum, on Stitcher, or even iTunes. And hey, leave us a quick message or a review. Enjoy the show. Yeah, okay, I'm recording now. I don't know about the rest of you people, but I'm recording.
Okay.
That's good.
Roy likes hearing himself talk.
Say what now? I'm letting somebody else do the talking. Because tonight, I'm not the GM. Tonight, the GM is...
Well, this is Joe, and... I'm just hosting the game. I do get to participate.
Sorry. All that damn time, and you couldn't open those before we started?
He's been trying.
Okay, so tonight we are playing a game called Durrance. It's written by Jason Morningstar, the creator of Fiasco. And it is similar to Fiasco. It has a little more direction and a more distinguished setting.
Distinguished?
Well, it's more defined, I guess you might say.
Yeah. Okay.
So basically what Durrance is about is a prison colony. It's in the future.
Far future. Yeah. It doesn't even give you dates.
Well, in the early 300s.
Yeah.
whatever that means. Authority had a criminal problem. So the idea is that they put these criminals on these floating orbitals everywhere, and there's just too many of them. So they had this great idea to, why don't we send a bunch of authority, marine type people out into the star systems with prisoners. And they'll go and they'll colonize planets. And over time, the prisoners will work, build the colonies, and their children will be free. They'll do their labor. They'll do their time
Australia in space.
Basically, and there's a whole thing in the back where it talks about he was inspired by the story of how Australia was, created. And he actually has rules to play the Australia. There's the whole thing.
Oh, okay, I didn't get that far in the book.
Yeah, you could actually play the colonization of Australia if you don't want to do the sci-fi flair. But anyway.
I will say this. I got the PDF, a few months back when you started talking about this game, and the PDF is pretty.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's gorgeous. The art in it is wonderful. It's got a nice aesthetic. It reminds me a lot of the style the Dresden Files is in, where you've got a lot of material in there. It's a lot of illustrations and stuff.
Well, and the good thing, too, the rules are only the first, 50 or so pages.
Yeah.
The rest are, we'll go through the steps and
your
we'll
planets
essentially,
and your, yeah.
We'll burn a planet. We'll create our cast of characters. The criminals have as much power as the authority, and there's an underworld hierarchy. It has been imported intact, and the power of the colony's shadow ruler, the Dimber Dauber, who is basically the governor of the criminals. He's the boss.
Which was one of the worst names I've ever seen.
Yeah, I don't know what Dimber Dauber is.
If there's supposed to be any kind of history behind that, I have no idea.
Spell that for me.
D-I-M-B-A-R?
B-E-R.
E-R.
D-A-M-B-E-R.
There we go.
The Dimber Dauber.
Or Dimber Dauber.
Deceptively playful title of the colony's criminal shadow governor.
Chief of a gang of male thieves or gypsies.
Okay,
Dimber
there we
Dauber,
go.
Upright man.
There we go then.
It's idiomatic, obsolete, and slang. Synonyms, arch rogue.
Aha. Okay, there we go.
Okay, so they had this whole big idea of how society was going to work. It's not panning out. How it actually works is it all kind of revolves around the ladder. And the ladder, so on the left side of that page is the authority ladder, and on the right side is the criminal ladder.
Uh-huh.
So.
And we'll go through and fill that out later.
Yeah. We'll give you just a quick overview of what each slot is, because you're going to pick one on each side. You can't have the same, like you can't be the governor and the Dimber Domber. You've got to be, your rungs can't match horizontally. Now, as we get to play, the idea is for people to move up, because the higher up the ladder you are, the more food you get, the wealthier you are, the life is easier. So you can, at that point, be on the same side. An authority might become a criminal. A criminal guy might become an authority. So you may move around once we get going, but initially you have to pick one on each side, and they can't be at the same rung.
All right.
The governor is basically the governor. He is the apex of colonial society, a solitary and singular figure of enormous power and influence. The Dimber Domber is criminal in chief, as well as overseer of the illicit economy and goods and services. So they both basically have the same amount of power. At the second rung, you have the captain of Marines beneath the governor, who is basically that. He's the colony's lieutenant governor. He's the governor's strong right arm and trusted confidant. On the right side is the judge advocate. There are two at the second. There are two.
Okay.
Yeah, two at the second rung on each side. The captain of Marines and the judge advocate. Judge advocate is the judge. The voice of civilization and jurisprudence. Okay, on the criminal side, you've got Captain Sharp, and he bears a title that is a deliberate mockery of rank and power. Captain Sharp is, more often than not, a homicidal thug and a paragon of corruption and violence. And then the abbot, who's also on the criminal side, is the Dimber Domber's licentious left hand, procurer and purveyor of all vice within the colony. Drugs, gambling, prostitution, luxury items, food theft.
So it's an ironic term.
I think so.
Okay. Third rung.
Third rung, we have the swells. And I believe that just comes from they've got it swell. They're free men and women who settle in the colony for perverse reasons of their own. They paid their own way, seeking an opportunity or running away from one. So they're professional people working in the colony. They're free, but they also may be up to something. On the criminal side, you have bolters. Bolters, the colony's celebrated outlaws, they have well and truly bolted. Sometimes convicts and occasionally Marines chuck it all, running away from the settlement towards a short but eventful life in the wilderness. Fourth rung, you've got your normal Marines. They rank from lowest to highest, private, lance corporal, corporal, and sergeant. There are also two officers with the rank of lieutenant. And then on the criminal side, you have lags and sables. There are men and women convicted of crimes against authority important enough to merit severe punishment, but trivial enough to prevent their summary execution.
And our final rung.
Final rung, you've got the emancipists. Emancipists are freed convicts. They're on the authority side. They've made their peace with authority and earned their freedom, their ticket of leave. And then you have wreckers and crawlers. Wreckers are political prisoners and troublemakers. Wreckers are often assigned to swells to do backbreaking manual labor, usually as punishment. And crawlers are basically just old, nasty criminals that are too old to do anything useful with. Crawlers are the broken, the aged, the infirm, and the insane. No one pays crawlers any mind.
All right.
Are there aliens? Yeah, there can be aliens. There can be alien life. any natives that do exist are different from the colonists in every particular. They are truly alien. They are operating at least on the surface at a very primitive level. Fire-hardened spears are an apex technology among them, but they should not be underestimated. Essentially, if you're reading the back of the book, and he was kind of apologetic about it.
Aboriginals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The aliens are the Aborigines.
Mm. Remember Earth 2?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The guys that would disappear into the dirt. Those guys.
They did a whole bunch of planetary surveys for all the different planets out there, and because they were so excited to get rid of all these criminals, they pretty much didn't really do very detailed planetary surveys. So again, it's what each planet was kind of supposed to be like, and then what it turns out it really is. So we're going to go ahead and burn up our planet now.
Okay.
The planetary survey has these six characteristics. The atmosphere is excellent. Geology is stable. Biology is benign. Climate is mild. Hydrology is favorable. And intelligent life is absent. So starting with you, Todd, you're going to circle one that you would like.
Does Todd start or do you start?
No, Todd starts.
Okay, the person to your player to your left?
Player to my left.
Yeah,
okay. That would be me.
So pick, circle one that you like and cross out one that you don't want anybody else to choose.
Out of those I picked, hydrology is favorable, which I'm assuming there's water present and enough. And I crossed out, geology is stable.
Nice. Earthquakes.
Yep. Jason?
All right. On the planetary survey, I have chosen intelligent life is absent. And the one I crossed out is atmosphere is excellent.
There's water. We can't breathe, though. So you have climate and biology.
Okay, so I'm going to cross out climate is mild and choose biology is benign.
So there's no plants that'll kill us because there's plenty of water.
But.
And we don't have to fight any intelligent life. But we can't breathe with a bunch of earthquakes. And it's 900 degrees.
Yeah. In the shade. But it's dry heat.
For that matter.
Okay. Now we do the same thing with the basically we defined our planet. Now we're going to define our colony. And the choices are planning is meticulous, workforce is motivated, order is well established, density is low, prosperity is high, and justice is universal.
Gimme.
No, it's my turn, Todd. He's also a player.
Oh, okay.
It means I don't get a choice this time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Prosperity is high, and I'm going to cross out planning is meticulous.
I am going to pick order is well established and cross out justice is universal.
I'm going to keep the workforce is motivated and get rid of the density is low.
So we're crawling all over each other.
Based on those choices, and you can look up each, they're labeled with letters. You can look up the planet, our planet's name, and Jason, you can write it down on that sheet up at the top. Our planet's name is New Barsana.
Did you just pick that out of your behind, or is that in there?
No. It's in there.
Once you make your choices, you can look it up.
Oh, okay.
It's page 78 in the handbook.
So the initial survey, again, going with the theme of the way they wrote it up versus what it is, the initial survey says, New Barsana boasts abundant supplies of fresh water. There is only the most primitive native life and is entirely benign. It is the perfect place to locate a colony. So now that we've been here for a while and things are starting to go to hell in a handbasket, the revised survey states, New Barsana's atmosphere is thin and difficult to breathe. The entire surface is scoured by merciless catabatic winds. Is that a word?
Catabatic.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Catabatic winds that never diminish. Lack of metals means New Barsana's gravity is very weak, which may lead to health problems from bone density and muscle loss over time. This is a terrible place.
Catabatic wind, from the Greek word katabatikos, meaning going downhill, is a technical term for a drainage wind, a wind that carries high-density air from a higher elevation down a slope under the force of gravity.
And then there are some details that we can use if we want to. One would be useless sand samples, acquired at great cost. The skid truck, useful only as a windbreak. Natives worship gravity-altering rock deep underground. While phenotypically distinct, the natives are genetically similar enough to humans to produce mostly non-viable offspring.
Nice.
A nomadic tribe that raids supplies. The stars at night look wrong. Okay.
I already looked up our colony.
What page?
Page 101 in your hymnal. Port Job.
So the authority said, our first job after planetfall was to bore out tunnels in which to build our new paradise. That wasn't the original plan, but plans must make way for the necessities of surviving this hellish place. We've established light industry and some small success. Security is tight, and we've learned that when dealing with lags, an iron fist is a better tool than an open hand. It is the way of things, as unpleasant as it is. So, I don't know, we have a lot of water here. Maybe these aren't tunnels. Maybe they're, like, something underwater.
I don't know. Tunnels in which to build our new paradise. There's water, but the planet side isn't very hospitable, is what it sounds like.
What I'm thinking of is Venice. Something with, like, a waterway and boats.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Mm-hmm. What about, instead of Venice, what about a marshland?
Like a swamp?
Yeah.
With, like, wooden walkway planks mm-hmm. everywhere?
Those wouldn't be tunnels, though. How does a tunnel in a marshland work?
Poorly.
Why would you even tunnel in a marshland?
To get underneath the water? Throwing it out there.
Yeah, I know.
How would you tunnel in Venice?
So, on the convict side...
Good point.
There's the tunnels, which is safe and secure, and then there's the hovels on the surface we live in, collapsing old prefabs that aren't safe or secure. Oh, no. There's the wire, and we don't go beyond that, do we? Here we are in old Port Job, half dead with fear, without a friend or meal. Targets for any marine half-board and looking for sport. Here's some details about the colony. The judge advocate is working lags on the side for personal profit. Rickton Tens, emancipist turned swell, who has accumulated a constellation of enemies. A handheld rock melter up for sale on the black market. A thick book marked official use and filled with onion skin pages detailing every corridor, every secret entrance. An impromptu hunt staged while the governor is away. And then the sixth one is, I wish to lodge a formal complaint in accordance with Article 7, Section 9, whatever that means.
I got it. The winds on the surface allow us to use wind traps to get plenty of water, but it's still not a very nice location to live in, so we drill under in order to live underground. Almost like Dune, but with more vegetation on the surface.
It sounds to me like the movie Slipstream, starring Bill Paxton and Mark Hamill.
I have missed that gem.
Say that I know that one either.
It's awesome.
What I come to think of is Dances with Wolves when he's out there on his own.
Tatanka? Oh, yeah.
Tatanka. If you ever read the book, they actually have to dig into the earth to get underneath it because of all the winds that happen.
Yeah.
But there's plenty of water. There's water out there.
Yeah.
So that's what I think of.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's very visual.
Okay, so I think we do.
Okay, so that was step two, right?
Yep, step two.
Step three, drives.
Yep. So you want to put that in the
middle. Jason,
you
got the other sheet?
No, it's that one.
This one? Oh. Yep.
We're going to do the same thing, Roy. You're going to start it. So anytime that in a scene we reach uncertainty, there are three outcomes of each scene. Savagery, servility, and we're going to pick the third one. Just the same way that we just picked our planet and our colony's characteristics, we're going to pick the third one. And between those three, each one of these things are going to have a dice associated with it.
Right. So what I need to do is pick one of these and cross it off.
Yep.
Okay.
And we just take turns crossing off until we're left with one.
Harmony goes out the window.
Oh, nice. I'm going to ditch safety.
Nice.
That's the one
I couldn't pick between safety and harmony. And
freedom.
Just another word for nothing left to lose.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get rid of status.
So what have I got left?
Control or indulgence?
I want to get rid of indulgence.
Boo. Control.
Control. You must have control. There we go.
Okay. Set that sheet in the middle now that we've got everything set up. And, you know, we'll say we'll use white to represent servility.
Yep.
We'll use black to represent hostility. And we'll use
savagery.
Red to represent control.
Use red to do savagery.
Red anger that.
Okay. Start off with rolling them.
Yeah, that's a good thought.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
That's.
Oh, you can't?
All right, what do those numbers mean?
So what it basically means
is... 2 is control, 4 is...
Servility.
And 6 is savagery.
Right.
So in any scene where we have uncertainty, we go to the dice. You're going to pick 2 to roll. The god is the one who rolls, and it's usually the god who says, okay, it sounds like we have uncertainty. Let's go to the dice. So if the scene's not looking like it's going to be able to end well or we don't know how to end it, the dice will tell us. And whichever one of those...
Gotcha.
See how 4, like, and
this, 6 is greater than 2, and the line goes from 6 to 2.
Right. Mm-hmm.
6 beats, savagery beats control.
Okay.
Control can't trump, servility, and so basically in this case.
Control's the odd one out.
So, well, savagery wins.
Savagery's
the only one because it goes counterclockwise.
Yeah.
It doesn't go the other way. Mm-hmm. So that leads the scene to, that basically is the deciding factor if we can't decide ourselves.
Nice.
Yeah. No, but you roll each time.
I know, but still okay, nice. So.
Yeah. And the idea is, which we're about to create the cast of characters.
Yep.
The cast of characters, unlike Fiasco, each has an oath. And the oath is, I will never leave a man hungry. I will never kill again. I will never be a criminal again. Whatever there's a whole list of them to choose from, or you can make up your own. So what the guide does, and we take turns being the guide, is just poses a question. What happens if this guy puts this dude on trial? Or what happens if, and they can be related, you can have husbands and wives, there's nothing that says that we can't, you know, two of them can't have the same last name and they're brothers, or whatever. Or you may have a Marine brother who has a brother who's a criminal. However we decide to mix the relationships up, that's up to us. It's not like Fiasco where it's kind of presented to you and you pick. We mix it up ourselves before we play, but once we create our characters, we create oaths for each other's characters.
All right.
So we don't pick our own oaths. And then the idea of posing the question is to get someone to break an oath. Because when somebody breaks an oath, somebody else changes their position on the ladder.
Okay.
The game basically ends when half of the, when, well, in this case 4, because we'll be playing 8 notables, when 4 people are either dead, missing, insane,
all right,
or break an oath.
All right, gotcha. What we got next? Notables or drives?
Notables. We just did the drive. Our drive is control.
That's right. Sorry. Notables. Grab the colonial notable sheet and put it down in front of the players.
We got it.
All right.
Explain the concept of the ladder. We did.
Ask them to choose a role that interests them.
Once everyone is clear on the concept, let's see.
Who is next in rotation? Joe?
Todd. You are. No. Joe. That's right. Joe. That was finished. Yeah, I finished it off last time.
And then if you look on page 26, there are things to think about. After we create our notables, then we can supposedly take a minute to talk about how the colony works, what the planet's like. We can discuss that a little bit more.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's do the notables then, Joe.
Okay.
So does he need that sheet then?
Yeah.
Yes, he does. Once everyone is clear on the concept, hand the sheet to the next player in rotation.
Okay, I'm going to make the captain sharp.
Ask them to choose a role that interests them.
Yeah.
Once the role is chosen, the player should write down a name for the notable in
that
position.
What's your role? I mean, are you his right-hand man? Are you the
abbot?
Apparent? Are you...
Yeah.
What is your purpose being there? Are you the kingmaker? Are you the power behind the throne? Are you...
Okay, I see
what I mean?
So if you're doing the Captain Sharp, remember he's got like...
See, I was thinking of things for the Captain Sharp.
Yeah.
You know, is he the guy waiting in the wings?
The Denver Dambers, chief lieutenants, more often than not, a homicidal thug.
Yeah, you could do that. You know,
such thing as a good Captain Sharp.
The enforcer, the bone breaker.
Yeah, he could be the guy who's really insane, but he's just hidden his position well. You know?
Okay, we're going to name him, Jacob Crane.
Okay.
Direct descendant of Ichabod. All right.
Jacob Crane will be the fixer.
Okay.
There'll be 2 left over. If you have one die or get shot, you can pick one of the other 2 We still basically stop when four people are dead, but that at least gives you somebody to pick up and play until we...
I think the last two should be decided, like, as a group.
Well, it says to go ahead for the host to go ahead and name them, but I'm thinking, what if we use another character that we want to plug in there somehow, like somebody that comes out of the fiction? Maybe we'll want to use them, so I'm going to leave them blank, and we'll just do that as it happens.
Okay. The governor.
I knew you were going to go for that.
Yeah, he likes it. Perched at the apex of colonial society, a solitary and singular figure of enormous power and influence. At least in theory.
His name is Oliver Chumwell.
Okay.
And he is a... His role is a sadistic socialite.
Okay, I'm going to choose the convicts. The Lags are in sables. Eli Drake is the name. Con artist will be what he is. And his role will just be the salesman. What does it mean by the number?
After we pick everybody, the governor is going to assign the convicts their numbers. You're 067. You're 425. That's your... We're convicts, so we're prisoners.
Your number is 246-01. Sorry.
Pages 26 and 27 have some interesting questions about each of the roles to kind of think about and ask yourself as you're fleshing out your characters.
Can you make mine the phone number from Hitchhiker's Guide?
No.
I can't remember it.
42?
That's not a phone number, Roy.
Oh, a phone number. Oh, Trillion's phone number. Yeah. Wow. I just heard number. I didn't hear phone number.
8675319.
No.
That's Transylvania 65000.
No, your name is Jenny.
8675309.
309. Couldn't remember if it was 30 or 31.
Captain Anthony Pike.
Christopher's brother?
Little kid.
Oh.
What is he? The captain?
He's the captain. Governor's enforcer. He's gonna be a decent and honorable man.
That's his role?
Yeah.
Or the enforcer's his role.
Well, he's an enforcer, but a decent and honorable one. Yeah. Decent and honorable enforcer.
Okay. I'm gonna make a swell.
Oh yeah?
He's gonna be a planter. But okay. I don't know what our agricultural, how are we growing food?
We haven't gotten there yet. That's up to us. You're just doing people.
Okay.
Yeah, we can live out of the wind. We can still grow stuff. I mean, there's a lot of wind on the prairie.
Jerry Corvus.
What you going for there, Todd?
Todd's got to go to the dark side.
Yes, I do.
So what's left on the convict side?
Dimber Damber. The Abbott? Somebody picked the...
No, you picked Captain Sharp, didn't you?
Joe picked Captain Sharp.
So that's the minions already.
Okay, so you only get one?
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. His name is Sean, S-E-A. Mallory.
O'Mallory?
Yeah, and he is a wrecker, political prisoner. He was a terrorist.
Oh.
That's his role. That was his crime. He's a bomber.
Gotcha.
So what should I put? Terrorist or?
Terrorist is fine.
Terrorist.
Yeah, right now he's a criminal.
Yeah.
But
see, he views himself as a terrorist. To
freedom
some,
fighter.
Freedom fighter to others. Jason?
Mine will be the emancipist. Name will be John Smith.
Oh, I should have named him John Brown.
John Q. Brown, son of John P. Brown, father to John R. Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Occupation, we'll just say locksmith by definition.
What is he?
Emancipist, convict, set free.
Okay.
Oh, emancipist? Oh, he was set free. Okay.
Yeah. I've got a bolter or the Dimber Damber.
Oh, go with the Dimber Damber.
Gotta be the Dimber, dude.
Yeah.
You gotta have an overlord.
Go for the power, Roy. You can do it. Jalkin will be in this one.
Jesus. Titus.
Andronicus?
That's where it's from. One of my favorite plays ever. Titus didn't start out to be a criminal mastermind. It just went that way.
Okay.
Now we get to do oaths. 108 and 109 is the list of oaths.
So on the oaths, we actually pick one for a different player?
Yep.
I like how it's listed out like Fiasco.
Yeah, you have the option to roll a dice.
Oh, so we have to pick these, or can we pick others, too?
If you want to make up one, go ahead. I'm going to pick.
All right, go ahead.
And this one just makes sense for Captain Anthony Pike.
What's that?
I will never disgrace my uniform. I will never disgrace my position.
I like it. I think it works for uniform, too, actually. I would have called that pretty much the same thing. He lives by a code.
The fixer for Jacob Crane?
Yeah.
I will never allow an innocent to go hungry.
Oh,
wow.
What?
Wow.
Okay.
Fix away, dude.
For Titus, I have chosen, I will never kill a man.
What? Women are okay.
See, I thought about that one. But then,
I am no
But
man.
Then the lawyer in me goes, but he could do this, or he could do this, or he could do this.
For the governor, I will never tolerate insolence or disrespect.
Perfect.
Okay, Jason, for John Smith. Y'all can help me with this.
Wait a minute. What is John Smith?
John Smith is the emancipist. Ah. I will never give I need an object back.
What's that under? Under the, what is it? Pride, not pride. Where is it? Honor?
Yeah.
Oh, I will never give blank back.
The key codes.
I like that.
It's nebulous.
It's nebulous, but it's nebulous enough to where it can be important for something. Yeah. Here we go. I will never keep a profitable secret.
Ooh.
So all I got left is the planet, right? For the terrorist, I have chosen, I will never keep a promise.
I will never allow the natives to suffer because of our folly. The planter does it. We do have natives on this place, right?
Yep.
Okay. I'm just going to truncate this to I will never allow the natives to suffer.
Okay.
I like it as more of an absolute. Okay, now what do we do with it?
Just throw it out there.
Okay, now what?
Well,
now where are we at?
We're playing. We're done. We're ready to play. The main thing is when we ask questions, we want to challenge the oaths and see if we can get somebody to break one. If someone breaks an oath, the player of the oath-breaking notable must immediately choose one of the following options. A notable, not necessarily the oath-breaker, changes position on the ladder.
Okay.
A planetary survey or colonial record assessment changes for better or worse. So something we scribbled out and circled can change.
Okay.
Or the unique drive for the game changes.
Okay.
If someone changes position on the ladder, you adjust their position on the ladder to reflect the new colonial order. More than one character can occupy a position on the ladder. How this is possible for Governor and Denver Damber is a juicy mystery for you to solve.
Mm-hmm.
It's also perfectly acceptable once play begins for a player's two notables to end up on the same side of the ladder. I talked about that. Most transitions will be obvious, like a captain of Marines who is relieved of command, tried and reduced to a convict. Characters may ascend or descend the ladder based on the outcome of scenes and reaction to the established fiction. There's nothing preventing the lowest crawler from becoming governor or vice versa. If a notable dies, tell the player who created that character to claim a named but unauthored notable on the colonial notable sheet. I didn't name him because there's no telling who else is going to get introduced. You can add a notable on a rung the player has not yet had a character occupy, even if it's already occupied by another notable. Ask the next player to the left to author an oath for the new character. And the game ends. when the combined number of broken oaths and dead, insane, or missing notables exceeds the number of players. In other words, when half the starting notables have had their moment, it's time to wrap things up. As the host, it's my responsibility to always have an eye on the end game. Every time the guide duties rotate around to me, I take a moment to assess the direction the game story is taking and prompt a short conversation about it. What's the combined total of broken oaths and dead notables? Is a clear arc emerging? Is there a particular oath that desperately needs to be challenged? At that point, once we reach the halfway point, we go around one more time to wrap it up, and that's it. We should have probably done this earlier, but we should talk about what everything is. What are we?
What does it look like? What's the flavor of it?
Yeah. What's the flavor? Obviously control's a big thing. We have lots of water. We've got underground caves. We have natives.
You've got lots of water, but you don't have a lot of food.
Right.
Where are we growing food?
On the surface, I still think.
On the surface. And we've used, irrigation, from underneath, not hydroponic, but I mean, we've irrigated the stuff but the winds don't, while we have a lot of water, the winds keep it from adequately growing the food. That's why we can drink all day. We're okay with that, but we're just hungry.
There's a large and plentiful aquifer.
Right. So that's where the control comes in, is it's the control of food.
Okay.
And food is rationed.
What is the planet like?
Oh, okay.
Guided by the description and details, agree on a general look and feel. Few landmarks, interesting features, seasonal rains of sulfuric acid, or bushes that shoot thorns like rifle bullets.
No, the biology is benign. Right. So there's nothing like that. We don't have to worry about crazy stuff like that. But we do have to worry about, since we'll do it, we have to worry about sinkholes. That's part of the geology.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Unstable geology.
There's a lot of water under there. And right. It creates sinkholes, and that's the big problem that we have with the geology.
How are we protecting the farms from the winds?
We're not. That's the problem.
The attempts so far have been to grow thousands and thousands of acres of plant material that we need, but we're only getting back 10% of it.
Yeah.
Okay. What's technology look like?
Actually, advanced, but pretty not basic.
Pretty basic, yeah. Nothing far advanced. I mean, it's like they're not giving us, you know, they're not giving us, ships and, you know, fancy transports or anything.
We haven't gotten any upgrades since we've gotten here.
There you go.
There you go.
That's, in other
lived
words,
in.
That's yeah. Another part of the control is that we have to deal with what we've got.
Tatooine.
Yeah. I'm thinking Cuba.
Well, it said the truck is basically a fancy windshield.
Right? Yeah.
That was one of the things in there. Yeah.
Okay. It says, take a moment to discuss the relationships implicit among the colonial notables you've created. Many will be obvious, but some may be tantalizingly subtle. Some will only emerge in play, and others may never have any relationship at all.
The relationship between the governor and who's the second in command?
Captain Anthony Pike.
Captain Pike is loyal to the governor to a fault.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of what the governor wants, he does what the governor wants.
Absolutely. No, wait. To this point, he has.
Yes.
Because he's an honorable, decent man.
He's an honorable man.
And he will never disgrace his position.
He's not going to disgrace it. But he'll...
Yet.
Yeah. He'll do what he can for the governor.
Here's one for the governor. How are convicts identified, processed, and tracked? Do they wear uniforms and perhaps authority uniglot barcodes? Are there biometric devices implanted? You should assign each convict character a unique number and write it on the notable sheet. I don't care about the numbers, but how
there,
are we?
Look, as governor, there is absolutely no need to degrade them. So what we will do is we will have something implanted biologically underneath the skin.
And all of the military or prison guards, or whatever you want to call them, they've all got Google Glass.
That's right.
So you can look at somebody, bing!
Yeah.
Right up the top of their head.
It's like that green dot in Sims. It just pops up right above their head.
With their name, number, what they did, how long they've got left.
Yeah, but there's no need in having, you know, we have to maintain some civility amongst ourselves. There's no need to have a, you know.
So they don't have to be in orange jumpsuits with big targets on their chest?
Nothing like that. Okay. In other words, you can be walking down the street and not know that the person standing next to you is a criminal. He might be, and probably is, but you don't have to know it. But I do.
Oh, and that's a profitable secret that could be shared.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was just thinking the key codes could be the codes to the Google Glass and whatever, who everybody is. Maybe somehow the locksmith has managed to acquire this.
Yeah. All right, what's next?
Relationships. Don't be shy about creating implicit relationships within or across hierarchies.
Do we have any other relationships? So far we've only got the
governor and the Denver.
No. I mean, we've got the governor and the captain.
What I'm trying to tell you is the governor and the Denver Damber.
Oh.
So what's their relationship?
Yeah.
Actually quite cordial. The governor actually makes, bi-weekly dinners that he invites the Denver Damber to, along with other people, because he's always having parties. And the Denver Damber loves his food.
Oh, he's a gourmet.
Mm-hmm. Okay, scene one.
Throw it out there, dude.
I got to phrase the question. When you do the scenes, you don't really get to pick who's there. You don't really get to inject anything. You just basically ask to see what happens if this happens or what, you know, it's up to you guys to kind of craft the scene to answer my question.
Okay.
So I want to know what happens when the governor approaches Titus about food theft, since there is a clear shortage already. And one of their dinner parties, or however y'all decide to do it, it doesn't have to be a dinner party, but since you all have a cordial relationship, I want to know how they address basically the elephant in the room with food theft amongst the criminals. How does the governor respond to that?
Do we play the characters we got our names by, or
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Do we have to, or do we?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You can bring other people in.
Okay.
It says to try to avoid bringing mine in, as since I'm the guide.
Yeah.
Okay.
But sure. If you do want to use one of my characters, somebody, Jason can play him.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the governor?
Me.
Oh.
And you're Titus, right?
Yeah.
And you guys can talk about it before
the one type of character I really don't like to play.
Ah, come on, man. Do it up.
Oh, I will.
The governor, one of his bi-weekly,
Jeez, bi-weekly. God.
Yeah, every other week.
Yeah, not twice a week.
Yeah. Brings, ask you over prior to eating. Okay. So let's say dinner is at 8:00 and he asks you to come over at about 6:00. Just you. Just the Denver Damber. And he invites you into his, for this planet, it is a palatial, residence. I mean, it looks like.
I would even imagine it would be partially above ground too.
Yeah. It looks like an old, Raj from Indian days.
Yeah.
I mean, this, you know, Victorian and eloquent, and he's got servants and that kind of thing. And he asks you to come in and he says, Titus, please have a seat. I've heard some, difficult things and you and I need to have a discussion about this considering your delicate position.
Oh, Governor, I don't even quite know what you even think about meaning when you say delicate position and please, please do not stiff on the grassland brandy.
No, well, of course not, sir. And I wasn't born yesterday. We all know your position. I don't have a problem with it because I believe that there is a necessity for it. That's why we get along as well as we do.
Oh, absolutely. I just... Precarious position?
Yes. No, here's what we're looking at. And the governor pulls out, some papers and stuff, and he says, I have gotten this from one of our planners, and he says, as a matter of fact, he's here, and I'm going to have him explain this to you. I'm going to bring you in. It's actually Joe's character. It's the planter.
Yeah, Jason, just as backstory, since we don't have any yet, I was going to have this guy be extremely frustrated because he's working his, you know, butt off to grow food for a colony, and only 10% of it's making it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not getting any funding for better farms, better shields, better grow lights. And he's really put off by everything. Go ahead. Sorry.
So,
Corvus?
Corvus.
Mr. Corvus, could you please explain to, our good friend Titus here what it was that you were telling me earlier about the, prospects?
Well, get the man a drink for criminy's sake.
There's no time for that. Right now my machines aren't working. There's just so much food I need to be able to get out. There's too many people. I can't feed everybody. I need help. About 10% of the crops actually makes it down here. I need help. The water, something about it, just not helping the plants.
What did you possibly want from me? I'm not an agriculturalist.
Well,
I'm an independent businessman.
I understand that, but here's what I need to know. Obviously, someone within your organization is allowing... That's your character too, Joe. Crap. Someone within your organization...
That doesn't have to be.
Is allocating foodstuffs, what little we have, in, let's call it an inefficient manner. We're all kind of hungry. Well, you're not. Neither am I. But we're all kind of hungry. And as you heard Mr. Corvus, he's working his tail off. So I need to have some of those show back up. Or, well, let me ask you about that first. What do you think about that?
You think someone in our side of the tracks is, shall we say, misappropriating?
Possibly, sure. Or appropriating it in a manner that is not within our best interest.
Misappropriating. Let's not quibble, Governor.
Okay. So do you want to let it go as that? There are other solutions, but that's the easiest one to get past right now.
Nothing's going against my oath.
Not yet.
Yeah, but here's the funny thing is, you can really go after his.
Yep.
And I'm just trying to think of how to do it.
I mean, let's...
I don't think
we have uncertainty yet, but I do think that...
No. I'm setting this up.
Yeah.
That we're getting there.
Okay, hold on. Dear Honorable Governor, I have a bit of a problem with you making such accusations against my people. That we would steal from the collective good? Do you know what kind of extension that these ladies and gentlemen get on their sentences for the minorest infraction?
Oh, I understand. Let's understand something. If you steal, you steal. That's the way of the world. My point is that if we have, just for argument's sake, 100 loaves of bread, and each person eats a loaf of bread, and we have 500 people, somebody's going to starve. I mean, just the math works out that way. Would you not agree?
No matter how you try to put it, Governor, you are accusing us of theft.
Okay. Let's say you're not stealing. Now what? There's still less food than we have people.
Is not this penal colony already supposed to be some sort of deterrent? Why look at the criminals already? We are being punished. Try looking to your own people.
Oh, no. No, 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 no. Let's... You misrepresent me. Let's understand something. I don't look at the people here. Yes, they may have had an infraction at some point in the past. But you have to understand, the people here are still under my governance, as yours, in your delicate situation. What I'm trying to tell you is that we have an opportunity to have more food. And I would like to talk to you about that.
We are talking, and you seem to be accusing us of thievery.
I didn't say
and
thievery.
And you are accusing us
no.
of
We have a
thievery.
Problem of food. We don't have a problem of thievery.
If the enough food is not getting to the people, mm-hmm. it must be disappearing. That okay. is theft.
Yes, but somebody's eating the food. Would you not agree?
I don't know. I am not an agriculturalist.
Okay.
I'm cool. saying you should look to your own people. You should not be coming down on us.
So, real quick, Governor, I just want to know, will you put your name at the bottom of the list so make sure your people get fed before you do?
I'm trying to make sure that everyone gets fed.
Before so that would be a no.
The way that I look at it is that everyone gets fed. That's a better situation. Why ration out our food to our people when there is plenty of food out there? That's what I'm trying to tell you. No matter what he says, he can only grow 10% as viable foodstuffs of what he has. But my argument is that there's a lot more foodstuffs out there, and I need your help to get it. If it disappears, we still have more food. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I need your help to go get the food. Can you do that for me?
What sort of help do you need from me?
That's what I need from you. Because as you well know, the indigenous peoples on this planet, are not viable for procreation with our species. Would you not agree?
Well, I don't know.
Trust me, I've seen it. But you know what they are?
Oh, really?
But you know what they are?
What?
Food.
No, they are the workforce. They're the ones helping me get everything going.
And their food. No different than a cow was
we
back on Earth.
We doing Starlight Green?
You got it. So.
They are thinking creatures.
So is a cow.
To an extent.
So is a cow.
So is a child. Are you going
to... So is a chicken.
Are that is cannibalism. You can't eat the natives here.
They're not my people. They're not my people.
So why don't you slice up Titus right here and just eat him now?
He's my people.
Is he now? You threw him under the bus.
I threw him under no bus. He is not in chains.
But you blame him for the food shortage.
This sounds like, regardless, this sounds like something for the military to do.
Well, we still need help. Because I
can't... To do what?
I still need your help.
You are the governor of this institution.
I understand, but I'm working with you. So,
no,
will you help me?
Governor, you tell me what you want.
Will you help me?
And I will see if we can make it happen.
And we need to start rounding up the indigenous people of this planet.
There has got to be a better way than that.
There is a better way.
There is not a better way. Grow more food and we won't have this problem.
Give me more funds.
Grow more food. That is what you have.
Are we in an impasse here?
No, I don't think it's uncertainty.
Yeah.
I think you either have to say yes, you'll help gather up, or no, you won't.
Well, hold on real quick. I know both me and Roy are hitting on him on the respect and toleration. And he's throwing in the natives against me.
And him.
I don't have anything on the natives.
No, his is never kill a man.
Yeah. Okay.
The natives aren't.
I'm gonna. Well, it's fine. I'm coming right out.
That.
I'm coming right out and saying no. We will not help you in this endeavor.
So you'll.
This is a job for the military. If you want to do this, you've got to take initiative. You've got to put your name on the dotted line on the orders.
I will do that.
Sign the orders.
And I will say that you are responsible for the deaths of many of the people on this planet.
Hold on. Technically, aren't I a convict?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got. Boom, number 11318.
Right.
Okay.
24601.
No, 11318. I like that one. 1138.
No, THX. You are 24601.
No, that's THX1138.
Whatever.
It sounds to me like insolence.
Yeah, almost to the point. We're almost getting there.
Oh, no. No, he's got to put his name on the dotted line. You have to put your name on that dotted line.
You must lead the people. We all respect you. You must be the one to sign the dotted line.
Very well. Thank you. You may leave.
I will take my drink with
you. I'll walk out.
Very well.
I won't ask for leave. I will just turn
my heel.
I'm leaving without permission and without salutation.
You're leaving before dinner? You're not even going to enjoy the meal?
No.
Okay.
No.
I'm happy with that.
No.
All right.
So what happened there then? I mean, what's the result of that?
What's the result of that?
I guess we're going to find out.
Genocide.
Or alien side.
Yeah.
Xenocide.
Xenocide.
Todd, you're up.
Oh, okay.
You get to guide the next scene. I don't think we hit uncertainty. I think that what you wanted, the Titan didn't want to do.
Okay.
And it's up to the governor to.
All right.
Now, if he doesn't do anything about it, eventually, I think probably you broke an oath.
Okay. The fixer, Jacob Crane, is quite aware of the lack of food. What is he going to do when he realizes that there's even less food coming in?
You mean when he realizes some is being stolen?
My argument is that he's doing the stealing, but my point is now there's even less food to steal. What are you going to do?
And your oath is, I will never allow an innocent to go hungry.
It sounds like you're already setting me up for...
All right.
Oh, okay. I see where you're going. Maybe I'm the Robin Hood.
Hold on. I think I might be able to kick this one off.
Okay, go ahead. What do you got?
Unless, Jason, do you have anything? Captain Pike comes and sees you. Yeah.
Captain Pike. Oh, okay. I gotta remember which was.
Anthony Pike, yeah. Anthony Pike comes in. Jacob Crane. I'm Captain Anthony Pike. I have orders from the governor here for you. We have, you need to, report, and you need to bring along with you 300 of your fellow convicts. Or is that too many in this? Okay. 30 of your fellow.
Density's high here.
Is density high?
Yeah. Density is not low. Density is high.
50 of your fellow convicts. They're reporting for duty in the fields. They will be issued further orders at that time.
Duty in the fields?
Yes.
They need more farmers. That's kind of what we're already doing here. We're all farmers.
There be issued further orders at that time. I am not privy to them. Jason's your con artist. Drake?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. You'll be issued further orders at that time. I am not privy to what they are. The governor has issued them to you. Aren't you Drake?
Yeah, I am.
Drake might know.
Well, sir, and I don't mean any disrespect, but I take my orders from one man, and it ain't on that side of the fence.
You're a convict. You are part of this penal institution. Are you not?
Oh, absolutely.
Would you like insubordination added on to your list of offenses?
No, sir.
Then you will grab 50 more men. You will take them out to the fields where they will get further orders. I take it you can get 49 other men. You've got one sitting next to you.
Why is he next to me?
I don't know. Why is he next to you?
You pointed at Jason.
I'm just wanting to hear I heard there was a good deal going on, so I just figured I'd come in to hear the tales. You know, is this going to increase our time on our sentences?
or are they going to be lessened?
Well, insubordination will certainly increase your time.
But, you know, we need something to grab the people. You know, convicts aren't just going to go up there and start slaving away.
Why not?
Because they don't get much food now. Why do they need to put the extra effort in? Your all's bellies are the ones being full.
Because they're given orders to do so.
We're all trying to make a living here. So are you going to come and join us?
This is not a city. This is not a city. This is a penal institution. You will come away from your barracks. You will go out to the fields, and you will work. This is part of your sentence.
What time tomorrow?
Sunrise, 8 a.m. Assuming an 8 a.m. works on this planet.
Right. Aye, aye, Captain. We'll be there.
Okay. And you will be number one of 50? Mr. Drake?
Oh, of course. It sounds like a wonderful idea.
Tell you what. I will meet you gentlemen here and walk out with you to make sure you get your orders. We'll meet here tomorrow at 7:45.
Good. We can use another back to help carry out the tools.
We'd be happy to help and make sure you get to where you need to be.
Okay. Todd, did that answer your question?
I don't know.
No, not really.
I don't really know what Roy's driving at.
I can see where Roy's going with this, but it really didn't ask the question. In other words, you know that there's no more food. I shouldn't say there's no more food. There's a lot less of it coming down the pike.
Okay. No, and you get the idea. I figured you would get the idea that no one's stealing it either. It's just that it's not being grown.
Yeah, it's not there. In other words, the stuff that, I mean, you may have been stealing it, you may not have. I just kind of presumed that when I started my scene. Because that's what the governor's thinking, is that, hey, somebody's taking this. So, what are you gonna do? You need to take care of that. And then now you understand that the way that you've been pushing food out there, it's not coming. Because of your particular oath, you don't want to see anybody. And I was thinking you were more like a Robin Hood more than anything else. That was my perception of when I signed that one to you. A fixer who doesn't want to see anybody go hungry. You're a fixer, but you're a fixer for a good thing. I don't know if I am putting way too much information into this.
No, I don't know. I'm trying to think of, I'm trying to think of what I can do about it.
Well, I mean, now you've got, because you either are going to look at somebody that's going to go hungry, or maybe you'll go along with, maybe we do need to start using them as food. Or is there another way? I don't know. That's what I'm trying to get you guys to resolve.
I was kind of getting it out, trying to get it out to the fields to where we're actually having to make that decision.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why I can see where he was going with that. But it was kind of like, you guys need to come out here. I'm not telling you why.
Okay. Yeah. But we never were told why. We just were told to be there.
Right. And he doesn't even know why. The captain doesn't even know why.
He's doing what he's been told to do. You get out there. I don't want to hear your crap. Just get out there.
Okay.
That's why I say, I mean, it didn't really answer the question of what you're going to do with it. You're presented this of, instead of having 10 foodstuffs come in every day, now there's 5. What are you going to do about it? Or are you going to do anything?
Well, if I'm the one stealing it.
Well, it's why are you stealing it? Or are you giving it to other people?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then what are you going to do based upon the fact that you will never see anybody go hungry? Are you going to see them go hungry? Because that's what's going to happen.
I'm not making the connection of letting people go hungry vice going out into the fields for this unknown meeting.
Okay.
That's what I'm not.
Okay. Well, then my thing is that at this point, I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to play your character, but fight back of, look, I got other things I got to do. My talents are best served elsewhere. Go get somebody else. But here's what I need you to do. You know, that kind of thing. Where else can we get this food? Bring in somebody else. You know, bring in another character. I don't know. But that question that I poised, there's no resolution to it. Like I said, I know where Roy's going with this, and it makes sense.
There you go. I can try about something real quick. Well, right now, Captain Anthony is honor bound. So what's it to gain for us to go out there to do that? What honorable thing is he going to assign to us? Plays against his honor.
Yeah, we can pick it up next morning. We walk out to the fields.
Yeah. I mean, you can pick up at that point. You've got 50 people. You're out there. Damn it, I brought these people. Now what?
Okay.
You know, what honorable thing are we doing here?
Let me see that a second.
Yeah, the guy at the bottom. Yeah.
I can't bring you in, can I? Because you asked the question.
No, I mean, one of you can play him. Okay. You don't have to play just one guy, do you?
Mm-mm.
No.
But no, what I'm saying is you can't play it.
Can't play it, yeah.
No, but we can have you participate.
Who do you want to be, Jace? Yeah.
The reason I was asking is he's asking for 50 people. He's on the convict list. I was going to get him as one of the guys to go along.
Yeah.
Which guys, Todd?
Sean, the terrorist, the freedom fighter.
Oh, the
Sean Mallory. The bomber.
Okay. So, I thought he was he's the wrecker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So the next day we go up. I meet you there.
I'm there. I got 50 guys.
Including, Drake.
Yeah. Drake's there.
Oh, yeah. Drake's there.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah.
Oh yeah. We're ready to go, man. Sounds like a very profitable idea, man. Getting everybody out here to work.
The wrecker's there.
We get up on the platform. We go up to the surface. We walk out and there is, we can make up characters and add them to, can't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, absolutely.
Todd, I'm going to make you play somebody real quick and help me out here.
Go ahead.
Lieutenant Steele.
Okay.
Lieutenant Steele there is there with 10 men.
Okay.
And a lot of weapons.
Okay. And our Google glasses.
Hmm?
And our Google glasses.
And your Google, yeah. I got mine on, man. Like, yeah. Little thing on.
Lieutenant Steele's oath. Power hungry. He wants to be the captain.
I will be the captain. That's his oath.
I will be the captain. Yeah.
Lieutenant Steele.
Captain.
These are the gentlemen I told you I'd bring.
Yes.
They've been given orders to come and report to you. I made sure they are here.
And why do I have them, sir?
I was told that you were given explicit instructions on what they were to be used for.
Very well. That'll be all, sir. Thank you. I will take care of it from here.
Go right ahead.
All right. Gentlemen.
You can talk to me.
And who are you?
I'm the unspoken leader of these guys.
It's Mr. Jacob Crane.
Okay. Here's what's going to happen. We are going to go down into that small village. It's about 4 kilometers from here. We will be back in about a half an hour. You will drive that truck over there into there, and you will clean up after us. Is that clear?
Clean up what exactly?
Clean up after us. Is that clear?
Nope.
Okay. Then in approximately 11 mics, you will come out after us. Is that clear?
No. What are we doing?
I just told you. You're going to get in the truck. Your men are going to come in to the village and clean up with us. Is that understood?
Are you proposing we...
I'm proposing you do nothing but drive the trucks into the village in 11 minutes. Is that understood?
Okay, boss. Whatever you say.
Good. Thank you. He rounds up the 10 men plus himself. They leave. In about 4 minutes, you hear weapons fire. Maybe a couple of explosions. And then about 9 minutes, you see like a flare go up into the sky and all of it dies down.
I turn around to the 50 convicts and I say, everybody in the trucks, follow me.
I go with them.
Okay. And as you go in to the village, you see all the...
Hold on. You go with who?
I go with you guys. This is the convicts.
The Captain Pike?
Yeah, Pike.
So you didn't say you were with me. I thought you were with them.
No, he left. He said go.
I stood there, and I said carry on.
Yeah.
But I just specifically did not leave.
So you come in, you come into the small village, and you see some of the native indigenous peoples, and they are all dead.
I didn't go into the village.
You said you drove in.
I said yeah. I got in the trucks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, we drive down. I mean, that's what
11
we're going.
Minutes.
I turn right around and drive right to the Denver Dumber.
What about the other trucks? Do you send the other guys in?
We're all told
I
to follow him.
Follow me.
Oh. So 11 minutes passed.
This is most profitable.
And he shoots another flare up into the air. The lieutenant does.
Pretty.
Okay. And you're, meanwhile, you're off in the other direction, right?
Off in the other direction.
Where are you?
I'm going to stay right there then. If he goes off in the other direction, I'm going to stay right there I turned them over. I obeyed my orders to turn them over to the lieutenant. Now I'm not going to be happy with the lieutenant when he comes back.
All right. 12 minutes go past.
I drive right to the Denver Dumber.
Okay. Meanwhile, back at the thing, the captain or the lieutenant comes charging out in his little APC and comes up and sees that all that crap's gone. All right. So by this time,
we ought to cut there then because if this is mainly the scene for Joe's character, he's gone off to see the Denver Dumber.
All right. He comes back. You're headed off. Go ahead.
Crane, what is this? Crane, right?
Hold on, are we gonna keep going with this scene?
You can. Or what are you gonna do with it?
Well, the question has the question been solved?
I think he doesn't necessarily know what's going on at this point.
Oh, he knows what's going on.
Yeah. Okay, I guess that's true.
Well, when I heard the gunfire,
uh-huh.
I basically decided I don't want any part of this.
Okay.
This doesn't have anything to do with feeding people.
You don't know that.
And this isn't, and the orders are not coming from the Denver Dumber, and I'm his left hand. Uh-huh. So I'm going right to him to report all this.
Okay.
Crane, what's wrong?
I'm pretty sure the Marines have just waged war on the indigenous life.
The Kuipers?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, the peaceful village full of Kuipers. And the Marines tried to get me and our guys, our collective guys, to clean up the massacre after they're done wiping them out. I abandoned them.
Ah, the fool went through with it, didn't he? The governor thinks that... The governor wants us to eat the Kuipers. He thinks it's a way... to supplement the horticulture industry.
Well, that's ridiculous. How do we know they're not poisonous?
Ridiculous.
How do we know that they're
you're not
they're
poisonous?
They could be poisonous.
I did not expect that.
You're gonna run out there and eat a bunch of aliens?
Don't eat that. It might kill you.
I mean, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard of. I'm glad I didn't take part in it, but
I'm glad the morality didn't phase you.
But you got to get my back because they're going to be mad, and they're stuck out there with their pants down and a bunch of dead bodies.
You know, this could be profitable.
Okay, that's a bad
this
image.
Could be a great idea, but the thing is, with the way they went through that town, there's no meat on the bones left. There is nothing there. They just blew everything away.
That's the important part, is that there's nothing there.
They went through and just demolished everything.
There's a lot wrong with you people.
It could have been a turning point. This might have been the savior. You know, the governor might have one idea every now and then.
All right, so what do you think has happened here? Do you think this is resolved for you?
Well, you're the god.
I do, because you have made a moral stance that this is not the solution.
Okay.
But my argument is that you are now going to see people starve.
But they were starving before the idea of eating people.
There is less food than there was before. Now you know there's gonna be people starving.
So you're saying it's Sharp going to happen. Broke his oath?
I'm saying that he's either going to find another solution now, or he's going to have to accept the fact that people are going to die from starving. See, here's my thing, is that he's either going to go against, he's going to siphon profits from something else to buy food from off land and da-da-da, try to get it in some other way that's going to be uber expensive and cut into profits.
Yeah, I don't think there's other ways.
Yeah, and see, that's my thing. Now he's going to see people starve. It's going to happen. This is a solution. May not be the best solution or the right solution, but it's a solution.
Well,
and
sir.
And you ran from it.
Titan, sir.
Titus,
I think you have a opportunity here to expose a deep corruption within the Marines. Now, whether or not the governor is going to see it that way or not,
see it that way, it starts from him. This is not necessarily something endemic to the Marines.
So you're in agreement that I should have went and picked up alien bodies and fed them to...
No, I'm in agreement with your ultimate solution. You did the right thing.
And now you're going to watch people die.
However...
Let's blackmail him for more money.
If we were to take over...
To increase the productivity of our hydroponic farming operation. We can blackmail him. The colony won't stand for
I don't know if blackmail will work.
Of the Kuipers.
We can try blackmail. But we also should prepare to take over.
Oh, I've been preparing for that since we set foot on this godforsaken dirt ball.
I don't know who is, if anyone is pulling the governor's strings, we should probably just take over.
Okay. Let's do a different scene.
Okay.
Okay. Well, then here's my question to you. Are you okay with people starving?
Is this a, wait a
minute? No, I don't think I broke an oath.
No, we're not saying you broke an oath. I mean, but is the scene finished, and did it finish with a specific end, or is there uncertainty still?
No, I don't think there's any uncertainty. The only thing that I question is oath.
No, I'm not okay with more people starving.
Okay.
Absolutely, I'm not okay with people starving.
No, and he's okay, but he is okay with, you know, overthrowing the rightful government.
I'd expect that.
So no, I don't think he's broken an oath either.
All right. Jason's turn.
The underground resistance has now coming up in the ranks, being led by Sean. I want to know how Sean is going to deal with this problem.
Sean's the wrecker.
Yeah.
The terrorist.
Yeah.
Freedom fighter.
I pull the fixer and Titus in because I was part of the group earlier and he ran off.
Well, he's one of the low rungers though.
Yeah.
You're pretty far
Yeah,
down.
But see, I'm low rungers, but I was a terrorist and freedom fighter before, so I understand that this can't stand. We can't go around mopping up for the Marines anymore. They're fascists. What do you expect from them? That being said, what's your plan? I overheard what you said to Titus. What's your plan?
Well, the discussion of blackmail was brought up, but if the governor can't be blackmailed...
Do you think the governor cares about blackmail from a convict? What are you going to blackmail him for? Titus, you probably know him better than anybody. What are you going to blackmail him for?
I don't know what we could blackmail him for. Blackmail him with is what my thought is.
All right, blackmail him with what?
I don't know.
50 witnesses to...
Genocide?
Genocide.
Do you think he cares? He's been set out here. He's the territorial governor.
I think ultimately the governor would just say that it was a protective action for the colony.
Of course, he's judge, jury, and executioner out here.
Yeah, they were gonna cause harm to the colony. He offed them. It's his way or the highway, unless you're able to do something.
Do you have a better solution?
We take over.
Oh, I completely agree.
How?
I tell you what, I'll do what I used to do before. what I got convicted of. You can make this happen. You can get me the things that I need.
I can get you some things. Why don't you get me a list together?
All right. I get him a list together of Semtex detonators and remote access to it. Okay.
Oh, but you know what you're going to need for those?
What's that?
You're going to need the key codes.
Oh, for us? That's probably true. Well, I tell you what.
I mean, that stuff is military mandate. Just because I can get them stolen and get them here, I'm not going to be able to, we're not going to be able to detonate them without the key codes.
Well, I tell you what. You give me the Semtex and all that other stuff, and I promise the key codes will mean nothing to you anymore. I will make that happen.
Okay.
What do you think, Jason?
You happy with that, Jason? You wanted to know what we were going to do? We're going to blow something up?
That sentence just rings in my ears. I think we can go to the next scene right this second.
Oh, yeah? You think? Just because I would really like to know what Oliver Chumwell, what Oliver Chumwell is going to do when he finds out that someone named, he's gotten some information, some guy named Ellie Drake has,
Eloy,
has some sort of secret about some sort of insubordination in the ranks. I want to know what Oliver's going to do about that.
What's Eli's oath again?
Never keep a profitable secret. I'm hammering on both of them with that.
You are. Yes, you are. Good. Maybe we'll off somebody finally.
So wait a second. You're saying Eli Drake has?
Eli Drake has secrets about, insubordination in the ranks. That's what you've heard. He's got all sorts of other secrets.
Okay.
That, you know, Oliver doesn't necessarily know that the Denver Damber is going to, you know, try and take over.
All right. Well, but, I ask one of, Pike's lieutenants to bring in this Eli Drake or whatever it is.
Ellie Drake. I'd let him do that. Call him Eli.
Mr. Drake.
Oh, you got a nice fancy place here. Walk over, get me some of the bourbon right off. So, chum, what you need? And I kind of mix it around
a little bit. It has come to my attention that you're the man that knows things.
I know lots of things.
You know, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. You know what? I understand that you're partaking of my bourbon there. It's quite good, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I think I might have another glass.
I tell you what. You know what?
Oh, no. I'll get it. You don't have to give me some.
No, wait a second. Mr. Drake, please understand. Take the bottle.
Whoa. I was planning on taking two.
No,
somebody of your high respect would never miss it.
You are more than welcome to it. But I tell you what, let me ask you a question. I heard somewhere that, you're a man who knows things about codes. What does that mean anything to you?
Yeah, codes are profitable. They can be.
Yeah. Now tell me, what
is that brandy?
Absolutely.
Man. I need to take one of those for my kids.
That's fine. I tell you what.
Good for coughing.
Mr. Drake, how about if I...
Did you know I had 50 kids?
I tell you
They're
what.
They're all going hungry. You want to see a picture?
Let's strike a bargain. You tell me something about these codes that is worth my while, and I'll make sure your 50 children and their 100 friends are taken care of with food and money and drink.
You know, you're a man of great power. I like that deal. However, I'm going to throw a little loop in this.
Well, let's hear.
I want Mr. Pike here. He's a man of reputation and honor. I'd rather have him in here to make sure you uphold your deal.
I don't have a problem with that, but you know what? You're going to do this now.
Get Mr. Pike in here, and we'll talk.
Tell you what, Mr. Pike does what I need him to do. You're going to tell me this now, or Mr. Pike will do what I ask him to do.
You want to see a picture of my kids? Oh, pretty good.
Beautiful.
See, this is my daughter, Laura.
Uh-huh.
She would love some of that, too, over there.
Tell you what, you tell me what I need to hear, and we'll talk about it.
Well, get Mr. Pike in here.
Mr. Pike will do what I ask him to do. This is your last chance.
I'm not arguing that what he won't do.
This is your last opportunity.
He's an honorable man. He's good on the streets. We understand.
Understand something, Mr. Drake. This is your last opportunity before it's your last chance.
Look, I've already been sentenced here to this rock. Staying here another 10 years? I can do that.
That's... Who says you'll stay here 10 years?
What, you gonna get me transferred?
Sure.
That sounds profitable.
Absolutely, I can have you transferred.
To the rendering vats.
Not a problem.
So what's your question?
What are the codes?
To what?
That's what I'm asking you, sir.
There are lots of codes.
Mr. Drake, I am a man of infinite patience, but not today. What are the codes?
Was I given codes? That's the question.
I mean, it's up to you. I mean, tell me if you're given codes or not. Because John Smith is the one with the codes.
John
the
Smith
locksmith is the one with the codes.
But he's a authority guy.
I know. He's the one that knows about them.
Are you sure Drake knows about them? Drake's got secrets. Drake might not have the code secret, but he might have secrets to trade.
Or... we could assume that he knows Drake has them.
Sure.
I mean, the other guy has them.
That might be a secret too.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll dime out the guy.
Yeah. Dime out the guy.
Yeah.
And what do you care? Because he's authority anyway. If it's money to you and you sell out somebody on the authority side, big deal. We're going to take over this joint
anyway.
It's a
profitable secret, and why should you keep it?
I think the guy you're looking for is John Smith. He's the known locksmith. He's got all the codes. He knows who comes in and goes out of the town. That's on the criminal side.
Very well.
Now, let's get that honorable man in here.
I tell you what, let's do that. I call in Captain Pike, and I ask him to make sure that Mr. Drake stays at his hip and finds Mr. Smith, and they all return.
Hey, you all in your nice pretty outfit. Here, hold this for me. And this bottle. And this bottle.
This will be here when you return.
No. I'll take it now. You won't have to worry about it.
Mr. Smith.
I'll be right on his hip. Trust me.
if he's not back with you, I hold you all responsible.
Is that going to still be part of the scene? Or... huh?
I'm pretty much just telling you so you don't have to be part of it.
Yeah.
Go find him. Bring him back.
Sure. He goes, brings him back.
Okay. Mr. Smith. You're Mr. Smith as well, right?
Before I leave, I'll pop open a bottle of brandy. That
fine. Take it with you.
Take a couple of swigs. Leave it on the bottle. Thanks, Gov. Okay. You can finish it.
So Mr. Smith comes back with Mr. Drake. And I thank Captain Pike for his time and ask him to stand outside the door. Mr. Smith, I understand that you have the key codes.
Yes.
Was that said earlier that he had the key codes? Is that what you said? Okay.
It's his.
Who's got the sheet?
I've got the sheet.
It's on the. It's his oath, isn't it?
Yeah. So I will never give the key codes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I understand that you have the key codes. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Let me ask you. He'll never give the key codes back. Does that mean he has all the codes to that and can change it?
It's whatever you all want it to be.
Good enough. That's what I need to know. I'm going to go with it. Mr. Smith, I appreciate you keeping the key codes under good guard.
They're under good. They're right here in my noggin.
All of them?
All of them.
Does anybody else have them?
Unless they can read my mind? No.
Mr. Smith, I'd like to congratulate you. I don't know if you've heard, but now you have won a trip anywhere you want in the entire universe.
I like it here, though.
You know what? Every man needs a vacation. Isn't there a good place that you'd like to go? Where's your family? Do you have any?
You know, there's a lot of stuff to do here with all the people that need to be fed and everything.
You know what?
There's so much work for me to do.
You're
I don't have time for it.
I tell you what, you are an absolute paragon of virtue, and I appreciate that. As a matter of fact, you know what? I'm going to put you in a different position, because I think that you should be working with my captain of Marines, Captain Pike, and I will make sure that he gets everything you need to have done, done. Captain Pike.
Yes, Governor.
I would like for you to make sure that Mr. Smith here is well taken care of and stays within the bounds of the Regency here.
Guest quarters then, sir?
Guest quarters, and make sure that someone's with him all the time. He's a very important man.
Yes, sir.
Are we good with that?
Yes, sir.
All right. Excellent. Mr. Drake, you have your equipment. Am I correct? And it, the rest of it will be coming to your residence.
If
Captain Pike will ensure that.
Why would it be coming to my residence if I'm staying here?
You can stay here if you like. You're more than welcome to. Captain Pike, will you make sure that he is well taken care of as well?
Absolutely, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Pike. Thank you, Mr. Drake, and thank you, Mr. Smith. Who did that? Roy.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Nobody's given up anything yet, though. Nope. I mean, everyone's sticking
to question?
It. Let's see. I wanted to know what the governor was going to do
with Mr. Drake because he had a secret.
Because he had a secret.
I found out what his secret was.
No, you had Eli's.
Eli. Yeah, I found out what his secret was, which is he knew about that, which I didn't know. He's the only one that's got the codes, and now that I've got them under wraps so no one else can find out about the codes.
Right.
Another thing, too, is you don't. They can be simple scenes. They don't have to involve dialogue. They can
that's
be
fine.
One-person scenes, yep. Like in, you know, similar to Fiasco.
That's fine.
Color scenes.
Yep.
Whatever. Joe?
Real quick question with Eli.
Yeah.
Did I hit anywhere with the governor's oath?
What was?
I will never tolerate insolence or disrespect.
No, I was about to kill you.
But you tolerated.
I dealt with it.
You tolerated
it.
You did not slap me down and put me in my place.
No, I was, I threatened you.
You offered him a guest room and...
No,
the other guy, the other guy.
Yeah, he offered me brandy when I just decided to take it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, he sucked down and then left the half the bottle there. Yeah.
And I called him chum. I didn't call him governor.
Didn't call him his excellency.
His excellency.
I don't know. You
his
guys
royal said. Tutelage.
I what think he think? Broke an oath.
The governor?
Yeah. I think he permitted the insolence to get what he wanted. You don't think so?
I know.
I don't know. Jason was pushing it pretty hard.
He was pushing it hard. I agree with that. But it got to the point where you're going to give me this or, you know, this is it. You're done.
Yeah. But
yeah. And he did say this is your last chance. And when he did, he gave up the name.
Yeah. But
I think he's still good, man.
The only thing I'm looking at is that was all about the secret. It wasn't about the insolence. You never gave Jason any grief about the insolence. It was always
about. I didn't think he was insolent. I know what kind of person he is. He's a convict. I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to go straight to the fact that I know he wants something. You can have this.
He disrespected and was insolent the whole time he was there. And you put up with it. You put up with it to get what you want.
To a point.
Please. I don't know. I think you broke an oath.
And see, I don't see how insolent he can be. I mean, how. There's insulin and there's insulin. But
you grabbed a bottle of your brandy, swigged it,
before you even offered.
Oh, knock yourself out.
Took a swig of it and just left it there.
I want something from you. I will deal with that.
Exactly. You gave up.
Oh.
You gave up your oath for the knowledge.
I'm not buying it.
So any listener out there, please give us your opinion.
Let me just tell you.
That is uncertainty then.
The only thing that happens is
uncertainty. I'm going to go with savagery then.
No, the only thing that happens is we can't call directly on the governor to be in scenes, although he's still alive. He just fades into the background.
Yeah.
However, I think if somebody moves up a notch,
yeah,
it's going to be Eli in this case because you've offered him a place in the mansion.
How in the world?
The locksmith is the one that got the place in the mansion.
Yeah,
Eli is the one that got
John Smith should maybe go up a rung if we call the governor's oath broken.
I agree that I can buy that. If you call anything broken, John Smith, because I was even thinking, okay, where can I put him up here? Because he's gone from being a mancipist to something else.
To swell.
Just, just to keep him, you know, under wraps. That's what I'm trying to do.
Does that put him up to a swell?
Well, it's Marine, but actually it'd be a swell.
There doesn't have to be a change in the ladder. It's a notable change his position on the ladder, or a planetary survey or colonial record assessment changes for better or worse, or the unique drive for the game changes. So, I mean, he could change the planetary survey. I don't know what it was off the top of my head, but to me, it would be one of those other two rather than, I do think he broke his oath on that. And if you don't agree that he did, which is fine, I think we should go to that. If he doesn't agree, then that means there's uncertainty, right? When the outcome of a situation is obvious or necessary, either fictionally or thematically, it's always best to trust your instincts and go with it. However, when the outcome of a scene is uncertain and the scene needs guidance and resolution, go to the dice right away.
Do it. Well, I think we ought to do it if for no other reason than to show that mechanic of the game.
Where's the dice at?
Right there. It's right here.
They were, but you would only... We moved them when we jerked the paper out.
They're still correct, weren't they? Well, 6, 2, and 4.
Two,
wasn't
it? Four. That's what it was.
So you pick two, Roy, and you roll the other ones.
Real quick, just from my other point of view, is it all wasn't about the drink. I did say that Pike was more honorable than him, and he let it go.
I didn't even hear that. I didn't pay attention to it.
Well, maybe the dice will tell us what to do.
Uh-oh. The drives and the uncertainty triangle are then compared in clockwise order of the die value. Ask to roll two of the dice, leaving one untouched. Does it matter which ones are picked? Ask the guide to roll two of the dice, leaving one. Ask the guide to roll two of the dice.
Which two to roll?
Yeah.
You were the guide, boy.
He asked the guide, was what I'm saying, to roll two of the dice.
No.
Savagery, drive, or the civility.
Do I just pick whatever
two? You pick the two that you want.
Okay.
You can kind of jimmy the results by picking the two that you want.
Yeah.
There's a little strategy behind which two you want to roll.
Yeah, because obviously you got one that's a six now.
I want to pick control and savagery and roll them.
Okay. We got ties?
Nope.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, we do.
Four.
Yeah.
That is something. Ties.
That
have their own table.
Oh, what page?
If any two dice tie, the normal rules apply. Although there will only be one resolution option. In addition, some interesting new twist is added. Consult the event list, page 110. Safety is the dominant drive, and the event for tied fours with a six. Is that a smoke? Is that smoke?
Tied fours. What's the other number?
Three.
Yep. Finally, biological or otherwise, closes ranks. Oh,
what?
Sorry, family.
Oh.
Family.
Family, biological or otherwise, closes ranks in this scene.
So do I interpret that or does Roy?
Well, you all do as the scene players.
I say that everybody that's on the good side.
The authority. Wait, good side?
Sorry,
what?
The light side. How's that? Is that better?
Authority side.
The authority side. They all get together. So John Smith, the captain, and the governor all get together and say, you know what?
I don't know.
Is a good idea. We're going to keep the codes under wraps, and we're going to make sure that this happens and make sure he stays here so he doesn't tell anybody else.
I think it would be the opposite. I think, what? I think the convict side would actually close ranks. Because your right-hand man has already seen you give orders to perpetrate a massacre.
Then what has that got to do with the convict? I mean, what has that got to do with my right-hand man?
The convict.
My point is that the family, it could be both sides for that matter, close ranks. Both sides do.
But hold on.
I don't think the authority is going to close ranks on that one. All right.
Judging by the oaths on some of them, like never heard of natives on one, which is on the authority side, I think they're not going to come together. The convicts, I think, are going to come together because...
You got to look at the dice. Hostility overrules control. You still read the dice as normal. We just got the extra twist, but you still resolve
savagery,
it as normal.
Savagery over control.
All right. So savagery... We're going to eat some people.
I think we're going to eat some people.
And we're going to keep Yehu under wraps.
It actually sounds like in this situation right now, the convicts are trying to maintain control,
uh-huh.
and the governor's going more savage.
Well,
don't forget the twist.
Well, real quick, is it just for that scene?
Jesus.
Sorry.
It's just for that scene, but it lasts.
Well, what I'm saying is, do the dice just influence that scene?
Yes. The dice influence that scene as they're read with the twist. The next time we go to the dice, we pick two of those and roll. See, I think if you're trying to figure out which of the family closes ranks, be it the authority or the convicts, in this case, savagery overrules control.
What do you think?
In my opinion, like what Roy said, savagery being eating the aliens. They're not people.
They're not people.
No,
the Kuipers.
The Kuipers are aliens.
No. Yeah.
No, wait a second. It could be.
It's still savagery, I think.
It could be disorder among the ranks. The savagery, I mean, he's going plain loco.
Yeah, but you're saying the family, biological or otherwise, closes ranks.
Yeah.
Why would there be savagery if we've closed ranks?
That's what I'm saying. The convicts close ranks over the authority. The authority is actually being more savage in this case.
I'll go with that.
It's the authority.
Right.
Yeah. Do not disrespect my authority.
Yeah.
It's kind of reversed. If it wasn't about the authority wanting to eat the Kuipers, I would say the convicts are closing ranks because normally they would be hostile. Normally authority would be control. Normally. But in this particular instance, I think hostility overriding control. Yes,
convicts are good people.
The convicts are trying to maintain control, and the authorities want to eat people.
Yeah.
Look, so. there's a necessary evil in this world. Okay?
That doesn't necessarily mean Todd did not break an oath, though. That just means that.
All right, next scene.
I think it's fine to have him break the oath. We just can't call directly on him.
Yeah.
You're the guy. You can call it.
You call it.
He broke an oath.
Okay.
Okay.
That was
we got
quick.
One down, and somebody, I would say let's move John Smith up a notch.
I agree.
Okay.
And let's.
Well, let's move him not to a Marine because it doesn't make any sense.
Right. Let's make him a swell.
A swell. I'll go with
that. Is that the same level or?
No, the swells are actually above a Marine.
Oh, that was one of
They're
our blanks.
The free colonists.
That was one of our blanks?
Yeah.
No. Oh. No, that's what Jerry Corvus, the planter, is.
So he's the same
the
level.
The professionals,
as
yeah.
Okay,
the
so people we can have two people the same level.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we can now.
No problem.
You just can't start.
Not start with. Oh, okay, gotcha.
It's
yeah. Do you want to just tie it up and give views on what we've got now? I mean, I'd like
to see this go on.
I really would, but we're supposed to play Torchbearer next week.
Yeah.
And I don't know how it would be to bring two people in.
Three people in.
Three people in without them participating in the beginning of the game. I mean, the bottom line is I want to play this again.
I tell you what, you want to do this, keep this in our pocket, and then pull it out when we need to, or do you want to just go ahead and...
I do think that if we do continue this on at a later date, we go back over that when you get it edited.
Yeah.
This one.
Yeah.
That way we can, okay, get the feel of where everybody's standing.
Yeah.
Well, just in case everyone seems, I'm liking this game. Am I the only one?
I like it.
Okay.
No,
I'm enjoying it. I just the problem for me is trying to figure out getting a question that drives somebody's oath without actually targeting
that person.
That person. Yeah.
Well, see, I think it's fine to target that person.
Yeah, that's the idea. The idea is to challenge them.
Because depending on who else comes in, then a lot of other people can be smacked down.
All right, so let's assume that we end here.
Okay.
All right.
What do we do? So
is there an end game to it?
Well, the ending is, had we actually killed off four people,
uh-huh.
or four people broke oaths, we would kind of discuss the end game, how we see it going,
okay.
the overarching theme that's going on here, and we'd go one more round to wrap up any ties, and then that would be the end.
Sort of like, this is my character doing that.
Kind
of. Fiasco.
But I tell you what, I think just looking at this, I think Joe's, he mentioned it, scenes don't have to be that long.
Yeah, we were.
Can you do so? And we were
with it.
Yeah, we were stretching it out quite a bit. So let's assume, just for argument's sake, that it ends here. We've had four people die. All right. Whoever four they would be. Or four people break oaths. That's what you said.
Die, or
go missing, lose their mind, okay. Or break oaths.
Right.
All right. In this, what I see is, a couple things. I'll just say for my two, Sean Mallory goes and sets up the bomb at the governor's palace and is found by the governor and sells the other side out. That's what I saw him doing.
I like it.
Just so he can get off the planet.
Jason, what about your two characters? Any ideas?
Well, I know the locksmith would, if the story continued on the way it was, would play your honor, Pike's honor.
Yeah.
And sneak away and have him take the fall for letting me go.
Pike would die.
Pike would be dead.
Pike would be dead.
Pike would be the one of the first ones dead.
Yeah.
I think that the way it was going is we're knocking Titus down from his oath because he will never kill a man.
Titus would probably. Yeah, Titus would have been knocked down. I don't know if he would have died.
To blow the governor up would be an oath breaker.
He would have either broken his oath to kill the governor or somebody else, or he would have died. Yeah, Titus would definitely be gone at the end of the scenario in some way, shape, or form.
And I think once Jerry Corvus found out that they were killing the natives, that he would probably rise to be one of the biggest revolutionaries because his oath is, I will never allow the natives to suffer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And once he, and maybe
he would switch sides.
Maybe the massacre, maybe the Bloody Sunday hasn't gotten to him yet, but I foresee him changing sides and quite possibly handing the food over to the convicts.
Yeah.
And saying, blow them up and I'll starve them out.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I like it.
See, I like where all this was going.
Yeah.
I think that the way the game is set up for lateral movement and horizontal movement is it adds enough spice that you don't need the needs and the relationships and the objects to play on like in Fiasco. Yeah. You've got a whole system there that works pretty good.
See, where I was going with this later is that the governor knows that you can eat those people because that's what he's been doing.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he's been fixing you every 2 weeks.
the way it was sounding, you know, if we go back and listen to it.
Soylent Green is caper!
Titus, there's an outside chance that Titus could have crossed over and ended up being the governor at the end. There's an outside chance.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what would happen. I think you'd either. Well, I think actually it could have happened when he broke his oath. I think it's possible.
Yeah, but when he breaks the oath, he's basically just a background character.
Yeah,
from that point on.
Still. But he would still be the governor. Yeah. Absolutely. But still, I think he could have been the governor in that way. But I honestly think he would have died in some way, shape, or form.
I like it, Joe.
This is fun.
I like it, too. Thank you, Jason Morningstar.
I think at this point, Roy, you can probably let this fly as it is.
I think so too. I think we can.
And then say, you know, give apologies to Morningstar and Steve Sagetti for, you know, kind of screwing up their game like we always do with every
other game. The other game that was fiasco-like, that's basically, it's a two-page PDF, but the one page is just the cover sheet.
Yeah.
Is, Cold Hands is the one I was talking about before, where it's just a game of accusations and alibis. And we could play that one too sometime if we got just four guys and a knight to kill.
Well, Jason, when we get to four people again, I promise I'm going to dig out Carolina Deathcrawl.
Nah.
So I've been dying to play it ever since I got back from Gen Con.
I want to play that too.
Well, on going back to this game real quick.
Yep.
I do think if we did have five or six people, two people being the guide or judges,
that
way they don't have a character involved in it. They don't really have a, I would say, biased opinion.
They could kind of alternate.
Yeah, they alternate between the two, and they ask the questions, and we as characters try to figure it out.
Well, if you had two more people, one could be the judge, and one could be the guy asking the question.
That's true. And then both of them would be out, and whoever's asking a question wouldn't be in the position to resolve it or whatever.
Well, what I'm saying more, though, is as a player, you're trying to figure out exactly how to do it, but if you've got two characters involved in it, you're going to have to fill.
Right.
To get the mentality down quickly.
Six people, you're not going to have two characters per.
Well, for example, in one scene, I had the con artist and the locksmith back to back.
Right.
Will, Roy, because remember, you have the abbot and Captain Sharp. And over here you have the judge advocate of the Marines, but you also have swells.
So you're
planners,
talking about both of them at the same time.
Everybody could do that.
Oh, okay.
You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You got enough people to run a 5-man show.
What I'm talking about was 6 though.
Well,
you would have to double up on one of the rungs to do that.
Well, you could always use one of them as the guide or judge and let him pop the questions.
Well, you don't want one person as the guide or judge only. That kind of brings down the playability of the whole thing. It's supposed to rotate. But that's why I like Todd's idea of one.
You've got the abbot.
Well, yeah, but he's talking about a person as the two people as only the guides is what I'm hearing, right?
Well, the two people that would be sitting back would have the ability to, one of which can direct a thing, and he could pick out what two characters to go at it. The worth the question. The other one is there to just look at the responses and to see if either one of them breaks the oath or pays more attention to that storyline. Because most of us are going to be involved into the story plot, and we might get off on a detangent from there. So I'm just,
yeah. Well, I mean, it's like what Todd is saying. One person's a guide, one person's the judge. And that takes two people. If we got 6 at the table, that takes two people out, and you got 4 other people who are possibly in the scenario or the scene at any given time. Right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So what we're trying to do here is we're trying to hack Jason's game so we can include more damn people is what we're saying.
Yeah.
Or I still think you could skip the hack and just fill out the judge advocate and the abbot.
Well, no. You would still do that, but in a scene, one person is a judge, one person's a guide. So it takes two people out of the group for the scene instead of just one person generally.
Yeah, but if you've got more people, you've got less involvement by the guide.
Possibly less. I mean, exactly, but if you make one person guide, one person judge, it's less involvement by two people, and you've got, you keep it curtailed to the smaller amount of people.
Hack it, Roy, hack it.
Anyways, all right. So Todd's bagging his stuff up. He wants to leave.
It's time to go home.
I would definitely play it again.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Like,
I'm all about it.
Like most of Morningstar's games, it's like let's play it again. All right, everybody, say good night.
Good night, gang.
Good night, everybody.
Now that was fun. Very similar to Fiasco, but with a lot more seriousness embedded. This one needs to be played again. We were actually a little disappointed that we ran out of time. I think if we asked, Todd would have kneecapped the others just to give us another week, but, you know, that wouldn't be civilized. So, what do you think? Let us know. Our voicemail is 502-4141-RU. That's 502-4141-766. Like us on Facebook. The address is facebook.com/RUSACGamers, all one word. Follow us on Twitter at @RSGRoy. That's at @RSGRoy. Say nice things about us on iTunes, and do whatever goes on over at Google+. Finally, for legal reasons, I must remind you that you've been listening to an actual play podcast by the Rusak Gamers. This production is wholly owned by its creators and is distributed under the Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. The opening song is Betty Betty by the Nunchucks. Durance is copyright 2012, Bully Pulpit Games.